price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
Oh yeah, Monday night, what's happening everybody? What's going on? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your host. My name is Chef Plum. It is a day after the Super Bowl and one of the greatest games of all time. Football fan or not, if you watch any of that game, you were captivated by that fourth quarter, that's for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday night. It's 10 p.m. on the East Coast. It is 7 p.m. on the West Coast. And of course, somewhere in between, sandwich in there. It's 7 p.m. somehow on the West Coast, but somewhere in there, too, it's like 8 o'clock, it's like 9 o'clock, which is always tough, because when I have guests on the show, now I have to figure out what time to tell them to call in on the guest line. Problem is I can't ever remember what fucking time it is. That's my issue. Thankfully, tonight, I had a conversation with our guest, Chef Uno, a little while ago, so we got all the time straight, and I just texted her to make sure, because I'm never totally sure, because I can't keep track of Central and Mountain, and I don't know. I just can't. I'm Eastern time. Like, we are market number one, the East Coast. Like, that's, I don't know. Can we just all be in the same time? I don't know. I wish we could. I get how the whole sun's in a different spot and the world's turning and we got to give more time for farmers and gotcha. Follow all that. Problem is it makes my job harder. And it's actually all about me. If you don't remember, that's how things go on this very program. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We got a fantastic show tonight. We're going to talk to Chef Uno Amenavon. She is from Chino, Chinatown in Texas. I also know her from The Taste on ABC. She's one of my favorite people ever. She's an incredibly talented chef. She's a badass chef. And like I said, she is one of those people who I'm just glad I got to know. And I got to meet her on The Taste on ABC. So, you know, it seems like that show, we just have so many guests on from it because it was such a bonding experience for so many of us, and Una was no different. She's fantastic. So hope your week's off to a great start. Mine, typical Monday. I had to work. Can we turn the music off now? Just turn it off. Thank you. Great start. You know, obviously I did my client in the city this morning, and then on to my Greenwich client, you know, just all that fun stuff that we normally do on the old Mondays. But it was a great time. Always fun, always fun. You know what I'm having a lot of fun with right now, which is so, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say it or not, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's a brand new app that's coming out here. Jesus, turn it down. There's a new app that's coming out. That's super, super cool. One of our guests, former guests of this show is part of that. I guess I shouldn't say who, but anyway, the app's called Stationhead. And you guys should totally go to stationhead.com, sign up. It is awesome. Especially for a Spotify account, dude, you can just broadcast to people. It's like a new form of social media. It's changing everything. It's in beta right now, so just a few of us get to play with it. And I can't stop. It's totally destroyed my productivity. Totally destroyed productivity. Totally killed my productivity. I can't get shit done, ever, because all I'm doing is on Stationhead, just kicking it. And I mean, who knows? Maybe at some point in time, we'll get this very program over to Stationhead at some point, because I think it's worth it to do it. It's definitely one of those things. It's going to change social media all over the place. You broadcast from it. You can play your own playlist. You can pick each individual song to play, and you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to pay to play those songs, as long as you have a Spotify account already, which I think most of us do, right? I mean, I did, and I signed up for Spotify, but I don't care what music service I use. I have, you know, an Amazon Music, all that stuff. You know, in the kitchen, to me, I think all those services still probably work. I bet Spotify was one of the first ones. So I bet we've all got it. But setting up playlists for the kitchen, things like that, I mean, it's awesome. So I can't wait for you guys to see it. I'm so excited about it. I've been playing with it all day. I was driving home from the east side this morning, this afternoon, and I'm just broadcasting, telling some stories. I think I even went on and did a commercial for a used car lot because that's what the highway looked like. It was a used car lot. this morning, this afternoon. Made me a little bit late, but that's the way it goes here on the East Coast. Anyway, I think that's the way it goes, at least. I think it's probably like that too on the West Coast, you know, LA and whatnot. Not sure how it is in the middle, but that's what it is. So honestly, last night, phenomenal football game. I am not a Patriots fan at all. You guys know very well from listening to this very program, I am a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I bleed black and gold. Last week, our guest from ESPN, the one and only David Todd, was on here talking about sports with me, and he knows that I'm a crazy person when it comes to the Steelers. But bottom line, we tried to talk more Pittsburgh food and whatnot, but I tried to stay away from football. I tried to. But yesterday, I spent the entire day, we spent the entire game watching it with my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, who are both diehard Patriots fans, which honestly, I think at first, I would rather have you take a chicken wing and shove it into my eye than have to sit through that game with those people. And bullshit, and I actually love them very much. They're fantastic. But by the third quarter, my father-in-law was like, I think I'm going to leave early. We're going to leave early and go home. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. And lo and behold, look what happens. They win. What's funny, though, that cracks me up, man, is how many stories come out the next day after big events like this. And one of the stories that's coming out now, it just cracks me up. And, of course, Super Bowl time, too. I'm not sure if it's exactly now or not. But I was talking about Tom Brady's diet. I guess it's weird that that's where we are, but I understand, like, you know, you're looking for, it's Super Bowl week, you're trying to find things to talk about, but Tom Brady, this guy, he said he's never had coffee or ever eaten a strawberry. What the hell is wrong? He has kids. Like, I don't get that. Like, how do you have kids, but have never given them a strawberry ever? It doesn't make any sense to me. He said that his diet is 80% alkaline and 20% acidic, which he says maintains balance and harmony through his metabolic system. Huh. I don't know if I'd be able to tell you how much of my diet is acidic and how much of it is alkaline, but what I can tell you is that at least 60% of my diet is beer. I'm not sure where that falls in that category, but I'm not sure if that actually would go to Tom Brady's, if that would really go well with his diet as it is anyway. But apparently, Giselle follows the same diet, and you know, they have two kids. They do a less strict version of this, apparently, but they do give them fruit, which is a good thing. He says, Tom, listen, he's a party guy. He is a crazy person. This guy, they need to calm him down a little bit. He did say that he does limit himself to the occasional banana. Yes, Tom Brady will limit himself to the occasional banana, blend it into a smoothie, of course. He's not actually going to eat that. And like I said, he's never had a strawberry. But for a treat, he'll eat, this sounds terrible, cacao avocado ice cream. Stop it. Stop it, Tom Brady. Just stop it. Cacao avocado ice cream. You have too much money. If you don't eat regular ice cream and you eat cacao avocado ice cream, you got too much money. That's what it comes down to. That's what it comes. Retire. It's time for you to retire now, honestly. Eat some fucking ice cream, right? Seriously, eat some ice cream. I can't imagine that it would be a healthy diet to limit yourself that way. I mean, you have to treat yourself. You have to have things in your diet that make you happy. You know, honestly, I'm willing to bet. I'm trying to see if there's anything else of note in this stuff. I guess he's trying to maintain his pH level. He thinks it helps get rid of bad things and inflammation. He thinks that some of these things like strawberries and whatnot can produce inflammation and cause just joint and muscle pain. But like, honestly, telling another man or another, you know what, fuck that. Telling another person that I don't eat ice cream, I eat cacao avocado ice cream. That alone gives me joint pain. That's what I think. Total joint pain. He doesn't have tomatoes. He doesn't eat nightshades. And guys, just for those of you who don't know, which I'm sure you all do, but nightshades, you know, things like that, they are tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant, shit like that. That's a nightshade in the nightshade family. But, you know, tomatoes have lycopene, which prevent prostate cancer. And they're great. Like, you should eat tomatoes. You shouldn't eat them when they're not in season, but you should eat tomatoes. They're great for you. But I just can't. I mean, the entire he's what does he eat for? Like, is there any fun at all? Any fun? Does he do any kind of candy? Nope. No refined sugar. None of it. And he says he also, when he does olive oil, he tries to not burn the olive oil by keeping it under 400 degrees. And he's coconut. He doesn't use coconut oil. Doesn't believe it's healthy. Huh. Okay. Well, we know what happens when you when you heat oil too much, it begins to get that extra poly thing in it. And I've been drinking, so I apologize. What ends up happening was that that's what makes it unhealthy. But chances of getting that hot while you're cooking are, I think, are pretty slim. But he does have a chef, obviously, cooking his food. And I tell you what, I've worked for some of these high-end people, and sometimes they're a pain in the ass, but other times they can be pretty nice. I have a feeling being Tom Brady's private chef is probably a pain in the ass. And you just know everything this guy does is going to be so regimented. I mean, even his sex life with Giselle has to be the most regimented thing you've ever seen in your life. Like, it must be like, we have our adult time every other Tuesday on opposite number months for 22 minutes exactly, because we know the second we're done, we have to have our cacao avocado ice cream. Yuck. Tom Brady, congratulations for being the greatest of all time. I will say that to you. But my friend, when it comes to life and enjoying life, brother, it doesn't sound like you really enjoy it much. And I'm going to give you an F plus on your grade for enjoying life. Ladies and gentlemen, time for me to step down off my soapbox. But before I do, I want to talk to you a little bit now. We're going to do an amazing giveaway, which I'm going to announce this week on Instagram. But I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it yet, because I want to tag in the magazine. I want to tag it in on a TV spot this week. And as well on the radio show, we'll let it run for a couple of weeks. Our good friends over at Hot Blocks, Chef Kevin Levine, sent me some amazing products, beautiful stuff for the TV show. They look amazing, but so much that I said, dude, we got to give one of these away. They have to check these things out. They're on my Instagram page. Make sure you check them out at Chef_Plum on Instagram. If you're not already following me, you can find them there. Beautiful cutting boards made by my friends over at Hot Blocks. We're going to do a giveaway of a personalized cutting board from our good friends over at Hot Blocks. We're going to start announcing that this week, so be on the lookout for it, because what he's making blew me out of the water. I didn't expect it. I honestly didn't expect it. I knew it would be a nice cutting board, but the craftsmanship, dude, I'm telling you, man, he's going to close his restaurant down. All he's going to do is make cutting boards, because it's just absolutely killer what he's doing. I dig it the most. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you checking out the very program tonight. My name is Chef Plum. This is Plum Love Foods Live. We have an amazing guest tonight, which I'm looking forward to talking to. Chef Uno is going to be on the program. She is one of my favorite chefs on the planet. She's super cool, incredibly nice. And I was lucky enough to get to spend a week hanging out with her and getting to know her. And I look forward to telling some stories about that here on this very program. So I'm going to pour myself a beverage. I'm going to get my ducks in a row. And we'll be right back right here on Plum Love Foods, on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, Carrier Pigeon, Smoke Signals, every place else. And don't forget, if you're checking us out tomorrow, that would be Tuesday or Wednesday, rate, review, subscribe, do all those fun things on that iTunes. It does something amazing for this thing called the algorithm, which I don't know what that means, but it's great for that. So please help us out with that. In the meantime, I'll be right back, guys. Thanks for checking us out. Hang tight. Here's Far Behind by my good friends, Social Distortion. Hang tight, guys. I'll be right back.
We're friends like you. Who needs enemies? You ain't right. You ain't never gonna be. You're out of the car. I'm afraid you've been the incline. You shake my hand while you're pissing on my leg. I'm cutting you loose. I don't need this misery. Your soul is toxic. You ain't no friend now. You're gonna stab my back. You're
Yeah, to me, one of my favorite all-time punk bands, Social Distortion. That band, I tell you what, honestly, it's like brings me back immediately to 1996. I'm slaving away in a kitchen in a restaurant called Mulligan's with a small little boombox just blaring that off a cassette tape. That's what it brings me right back to immediately. Music has that effect on me, and food has that same kind of effect on me, which just kind of takes you right back to a moment in time, to someplace, and, you know, whether it's something you ate or something like that. But food does the same thing to me. Right now, very excited. I've been wanting to have this young lady on for a very, very long time. Quick story about her. She is one of the chefs that I got to meet on the show called The Taste. She did much better than I did on that show, but whatever. But she is a fantastic chef. Turn the music off. I don't know. We keep wanting to do this background music, but it's too fucking loud. I can't hear anything. Yeah. Anyway, she's awesome. She's a badass chef. She runs a kick-ass restaurant down in Dallas, Texas, called Chino Chinatown. You can check them out at chinochinatown.com. And Uno was... we spent a lot of time. We hung out. We drank together. We told stories together. And, you know, we kind of had the whole parent thing that we kind of bonded on. But, you know, I try to continue with having amazing kick-ass chefs on this program, as well as bringing in beautiful people. Because what that does is it makes me look better, is the whole idea. So, again, incredibly excited to have her here. Uno, what is happening, chef? How are you?
Hi, chef. I'm good.
Isn't that awesome? I think it's so great. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I'm just running my mouth. I think what's great about what we do is that you don't have to know any...
First time caller. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. the greatest thing about what we do, chef, is that we don't have to know anybody's name. You just call everybody chef. Isn't that awesome?
Exactly. Yeah, it's better than calling them jerk or asshole.
I go to my kid's school to do the same thing to like the principal and shit. I'm like, hey, chef.
Or just say, hey.
That's right. Maybe I should try that next time. Well, listen, it's awesome to hear your voice. It's so great to talk to you. You were, honestly, I was telling the story before, you're one of my favorite people I ever got to meet on that program. We had quite the bonding time a couple of nights there where we were hanging out, drinking beers by a pool, if I remember correctly, amongst other places. You obviously did much better than I did on that show. I just seemed to run around and make dick jokes the whole time. But... you stayed on for a long time.
Your memory just lived on, though. There was always that the spirit of Chef Plum. Even when you weren't there, you were still there.
I got told I was called the mayor, was what I got told, which I thought
you
was pretty funny.
You knew everybody. I don't know how you did that. Even when you were gone, like, oh, I wish Plum was here. It's like, no,
oh,
I don't think anybody
awesome.
Missed me when I was gone, you know?
Oh, shit. No, I bet they did. You're such a fun person, an easy person to talk to. And like I said, I'm pretty sure they definitely would have missed you for sure. Probably way more than me, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. Tell me more. I've been fishing for compliments all night.
Well, I was telling them, like, that's part of the whole reason why, you know, I wanted to have you be on here as part of Plum's cavalcade of beautiful people. Because I myself am stuck with the body of a melted snowman now that I'm a father. Obviously I try to bring in as many attractive people as I can. So, hopefully you don't mind being in that category.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I've heard I have a really great radio voice and a radio.
You do.
Too, so thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You do. You know, I've gotten a lot of questions, from some people. I was doing a little pre-show on this other app that I'm working with. And they were asking me about, wow, look at that girl, that pretty girl holding that giant piece of meat. What is that, a pork shoulder? And it just hit me. Like, there's so many things we as chefs take for granted that we just know. And like, you, when you see somebody say that that's not that, you're like, oh, do I want to say they're stupid, or am I on like a high horse? I mean,
you're like, pork isn't that red.
No, not at all. And why would you? No, it's not pork. But your Instagram and looking at what you're doing. You do post some pretty fun pictures, and it looks like you're kind of out there doing all kinds of stuff. And I want to talk about the restaurant, of course, but you're out there doing some TV stuff now, like locally in Dallas, right?
Yeah, I am. It's actually a nationally syndicated show called Eye Opener. It's
what?
In Dallas, Houston, Florida, Philadelphia. And so, so I get to do this show twice a month, and they come to the restaurant and film, and a lot of it's inspired through my life or whatever events are happening. And they can give me free range to do that. And what I love about it is I don't have to be at the studio at you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, they come and tape and
yeah.
it gets all edited. So I look great.
That's awesome. I didn't realize it was in so many different markets. Are episodes available online as well?
Yes, absolutely. Eyeopener.com, and you can, or you can go do Chef Uno Eyeopener, and yeah, a couple of the segments come up. I've been doing this for 2.5 years now, so it's been great because I do get to experiment with different foods. I get to play with the host, and it's been really giving me a great way to meet other folks. It's funny because I don't realize these shows actually make a huge impact until, you know, I go to someone like, "Oh, you look so familiar," and they can't quite put their finger on it, you know.
I know.
I'm on that poster, that wanted sign at the post office.
That's terrible. Don't say that. But no, you're right. I think that
I'm
even doing
carton. I'm the missing girl.
We found her. Finally. How much is that reward? Oh, it's $80. Never mind. She can stay. you know, it's what happens. But you're right. When you do these shows, and whether it's you know, I think, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that I find that, you know, listen, I just did a show and we had a run on My Network TV. You know, not a big channel, but whatever. But I find that I get more people watch it more online now more than anything. And I think that's kind of the way everything is going. Are you seeing that with what you do?
I do. I mean, like, you look at Netflix and Hulu. I don't even think that I watch live television anymore because you DVR it and then you listen to it later. It's just life in general. We're in a more, better, faster world. And so how do we access things, you know? And I mean, I think the football game, I barely watched it. And then we're like, oh, rewind that, you know, like, we're so busy talking, we had to rewind the plays and stuff like that from the Super Bowl last night. So, yeah,
my God. I think I would have hated watching the game with
where
you.
It's all going.
I've been so angry.
You know what? That was an amazing game. I'm not going to hate on it was. Brady. I heard your comments earlier. Avocado cacao is a really good combination.
Stop it. Not for a football player. Stop it. Stop it. You're the greatest quarterback of all time. And you walk into a restaurant and say, yes, I would like to have the cacao and avocado ice cream. Stop it. It's very, very telling. I mean, I'm telling you.
With an essence of banana, please.
Oh, Jesus, I know. Oh, I'm getting so angry about it. Who doesn't eat strawberries? Strawberries are delicious. Are you kidding me? Good God. I mean, I just picture the guy sitting at home with a cup full of gruel, staring at the wall, waiting for 8 o'clock at night to come, because that's when he goes to bed. Just eating it and just waiting for 8 o'clock at night to come as he snacks on birdseed. Drives me fucking crazy. Come on, stop it.
Well, you know, that's a whole thing. I wouldn't throw him out of bed for eating crackers. I mean, he doesn't eat crackers. I don't have to throw him out of bed at all.
Oh, well, listen, even if you wanted to get him in bed, I'm sure it's very scheduled. I have a feeling that it's a very regimented thing. Like, you know, you kind of want to have those fun moments sometimes. Not going to happen with Tom. Nope.
Right.
This is not when I do it. Right now, this is when I have my 75 degree water glass that I drink every day. That's what I'm doing right now. It's
Well, what saddens me is that I know that he's never going to walk into Tina Chinatown and eat with me either, because I don't have those things on my menu. Like,
look
what?
At you, Segway Queen. Nice job. Nice job, Segway Queen. No, you don't, but you do sometimes make cacao ice cream. Tell us about the restaurant. What I thought was really interesting about your food is I love how you kind of put it, it's almost like a different, I mean, you call it, it's Latin Chinese fusion, right? But what comes into these plates looking stunning and gorgeous and just make me hungry. And your restaurant is where I'd want to go eat. Like, I don't want to go. That's where I want to go. That sounds amazing.
Next time you come to Dallas, or when you come to Dallas with your tribe, let me know, and I will definitely get you guys set up. Yeah, the Chino Chinatown is an Asian Latin fusion restaurant. It was inspired by the Chinese movement to South America in the early 1900s. I really, you know, they couldn't cook all their food, so they had to figure out ways to use the ingredients they had, and that's kind of the thought process when I created my menu there.
Wow. I was like sitting down, I grabbed note cards to take notes. I thought I was having a history lesson. I was getting prepared. How long have you been open now?
Well, here was the other thing was that, you know, I also came from a 16-year banking career. So I'm not a trained chef. So when I was on the taste, when you met me, I was still working at Wells Fargo and had a very successful career. I ended up on Anthony Bourdain's team. And I guess I kind of, being selected on his team, kind of pushed through my belief system of the things that I thought were possible and not possible. and I shifted my of how I viewed things in this world. And so I was like, God, if I can get selected on Anthony Bourdain's team, what else can I do? And that's when I kind of came back and you know, dug deep into my soul and said, hey, what is it that I want to do? And coincidentally, there was a new area town in West Dallas that's being created called Trinity Groves. Mm-hmm. And the founder bought 100 acres of land over there, and he wanted to create this incubation, these restaurant incubations. And you had to kind of try out, like Shark Tank for restaurants. If you got a space, he'd give you $500,000 to build it out. And so I'm the only person that was an experienced restaurateur that he gave money to. And coming from a mortgage and underwriting background, I thought, gosh, here's my qualifications are next to nothing. I had a catering company and I knew food, but I've never cooked in a commercial kitchen before. And the closest I did to working in a restaurant was through college. But other than that, it was just catering and doing what I love. I didn't know it was going to turn into a career. You know, and you fast forward 3 years later, here I am, and I've learned a lot. I'm getting ready to open another restaurant this summer. And
are you really?
You know, it's all through, and up in Plano. Toyota's moving their headquarters here, and Jerry World is going up there. So the Dallas Cowboys training facility is going up in North Dallas. And so I'll be in that area. But, you know, it's like it's been an incredible journey, despite all these things that happen. And, you know, going back to the taste, I look at everybody that we were casted with, and everybody else is doing such amazing work too. And I had to, you know, give accolades to the casting folks because they did see a spark in all of us. They did see this passion in us, and they brought the right group of people together. Cause I can say that I probably still talk to about 5 or 6 people from the show on a regular basis.
And the amazing part about that is you're right. And I want to talk more about your background here in a minute, but you brought back up the taste. So I want to talk about that for a second as well. I think that I've done a lot of these television programs. I know you've done some stuff yourself, but when you do these shows, you're right. That one was probably the one that I think was cast best out of all of them. It was interesting because it was such a great group of people and, you know, chefs, like you weren't part of that group yet as, you know, the group of chefs, but chefs are, you know, we're a broken band of pirates, which I'm sure you know now. Like, we're just people who, you know, come from weird backgrounds, especially ones that are, you know, in the same age range and stuff like that. But, you know, the new chefs now that are coming out are a whole different story, which I definitely want to get into because I'm sure you have some at your restaurant. But the group that we had there, what an amazing group of people. Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. I had a guy who was working with me for 2 weeks say, chef, when we're in front of clients, can you call me chef? What? What? This isn't real life. That's a long story. But you know, it's all based on respect. But you know, it was a great group of people, and you're right. The casting group did a great job with all that. Do you remember Joe?
What's the last name?
Deckelmeyer. He was like our wrangler, our handler.
Yes. He was our handler.
He ended up working
every night. We got
I ended up getting him all fucked up. Like, I get him drunk every night, and I got in trouble for it.
It was so easy.
Yeah, it wasn't. I didn't have to like really push it. But I had him.
Oh, you want to do a shot? Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not supposed to. Wait, how'd this get in my hand? Oh shit. Oh no, I'm not supposed to. Anyway, but one of the things that was most interesting about that was the one show, and I don't know how you feel about this, but Joe, he was on this program about a little over a year ago, said that there was definitely a little bit of tomfoolery going on behind the scenes when it came to that particular show. Not with everything, but with some of the stuff, how some of it was definitely kind of a little pre-planned, a little bit worked out, kind of with how things went with it. I don't know how do you feel about that? Like, I mean, that wasn't like I'm not trying to say anything bad or set anybody up, but like, you know, he said there's definitely, it wasn't all, you know, all good.
It's reality TV, right? It's all about, I think it's all about ratings and everything else. I think that everybody felt that way. And I want to say that, you know, the way I was eliminated from the show was a little controversial, but at the end of the day, I couldn't think of, that was probably the best outcome for me to have to be removed or eliminated, for lack of a better word. But, you know, it was the experience more than anything else. And in the moment, I would tell you that I was so angry and so upset and sad. It was just a hodgepodge of feelings, right? Because girls have these feelings. But it was good because I didn't know that I could have this range of emotion within minutes of each other. But what the great thing that came out of it was I had a very great kinship with Nina Marie, and we went to go visit Erica Monroe Williams at her home. And we got to kind of drive around with each other for a week before we had to go back at the end of the show. So that's the moment that we wouldn't have the friendship we had today had it not been for us being eliminated one right after the other from Bourdain's team. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably not the best outcome. I think that Chef K is incredibly talented, won, and she has a different thing, but she had a little bit of an advantage from us because she lived there in L.A. But, you know, it's like, I personally don't think I would have won the whole thing. I didn't have the experience that the chefs did. I think that being in the industry for the last 3 years, is you think quick on your feet, and this is what you do every single day. So you know how to problem solve these things. I don't think I could have problem solved like you guys could have. Ask me today what I, you know, what would you do with
different
this?
World.
Oh, I think quick on my feet. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, if that happened, if there's a fire in the kitchen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to throw water on it. So yeah, you know, you just kind of live and learn. So that though, like I said, the opportunity really opened up a whole plethora of other events that's happened to me since then. And
well, you wouldn't have a restaurant. You wouldn't have a restaurant if that happened. So, I mean, that's the way it goes. Like it's, you know, I was new to doing those sort of things and I didn't learn until now. I know it's more about the people you meet and the relationships you build with those people and moving forward. That's what these TV shows are the best for. And you have to know that when you go into it, it's totally what it's more about. I've met so many friends that way and, you know, it's opened a lot of doors for me as well as it definitely has for you also. So, you know, it's crazy to see it, you know, and you know, would I do that show again? 100%. And I'd let it come out the exact same way because I had such a great time when I was there. That's what it was about. Yeah. And, you know, meeting people that are awesome like you and like Nina Marie, who was just on the show a couple weeks ago. She's fantastic. And I'm actually going to do a pop-up with her, I think, soon. Pop-up dinners, which is great. So,
She's great. I mean, like, she's so creative in the way that she approaches food as well. And so she's coming to Dallas in May, and we're going to do a small dinner here as well. But that's what it takes. It's a collaboration. We're all kind of lifting each other up along the way. I mean, look at Alejandro Ramos, who is, you know, one of the contributors
that's
for
my homie.
Show. She's just gangbusters. She's everywhere. That's how much on the TV she's on.
I know. We shot a pilot together about a year ago, which is pretty cool. She's great. It's funny how you maintain connections with these people and you still talk to them. And, you know, I think I told you before I was with Aaron Reed, an amazing guy. We were just in Boston together doing an event, the two of us. I mean, it's funny how you still kind of stay together with these people. And, you know, like I said, it's about forming those relationships. And I didn't know that then, but now I do. And, you know, I'm talking to you right now still. This was 3 years ago.
Well, you know, you can't minimize the hard work that you've put in or I've put in. You know, it's like, people, we've grown because we've learned to be humble, number one, but we've also taken the opportunity to prepare ourselves for whatever life takes us to. You know, it's like, we could end up on the show and not done anything with it, but we did as much as we squeezed every single drop out of that opportunity that we could, and here we are. And, you know, you're doing, I mean, I'm just amazed at all the shows that you've done and taking that one thing and networking it to where you are right now. I mean, like, you were on, like, what, 4 Food Network shows?
9
9 10 Who's counting?
If you count the commercial spots I did with them, it's 9. But yeah, I mean, it's a number of them. Oh my God, I've done one for Chopped. I did one for America's Best Cooked, and we were just talking earlier. I've done a bunch of national commercials too, which is really, really funny and completely embarrassing, but the check cash, that's all I care about. We won't talk about that. No. You sign the paper and you say, give me my $1,000. You don't give a shit.
Oh,
but I'm not telling you.
Some of the stuff. Yeah.
I'm not telling you to go on YouTube and YouTube something called Rolo Slicer, but if you did, you would laugh. So don't do that.
I can't wait.
It even cuts through a shoe. but listen, God. I wanted to ask you a lot. I know. Don't listen to check cash, dear. I got a roof and kids to feed. I wanted to ask you too. You were talking a little bit about your banker background, and you worked with Wells Fargo, and then you kind of career change, which is, you know, it's difficult if you don't know what you're getting into in this business. I've been doing it for 20 years now. If you don't know what you're getting into, it's fucking crazy. And you come in as a banker into this business. I mean, how was that? How was that transition for you?
Oh my gosh. Hair on fire moment, first of all. And you know, if you can imagine, close your eyes and imagine this, like if you put a little pin drop down, that's me as a person. And let's just say you put a 1-inch circle around that. That's what I know that I don't know. Then you put another 1-inch circle out there. And then it's like, it's everything that I know that, I mean, everything that I know, and then everything I know that I don't know, and then everything else outside of that is everything I know that I don't know. I didn't know that there was so much involved in doing a restaurant. And so many people advised me against doing it. My mom, my dad, my sister, like, are you sure you want to get into this? Other chefs.
Smart.
Even when I was on the case, I had other chefs that told me, I was like, hey, I'm actually thinking about doing a restaurant. You know, someone's approached me when I was about to get on the show, and it was Jeff Mahan, and he goes, don't do it. He's like, how much money do you make? And so I told him, and he goes, why would you want to come and do this? Are you?
Yes.
He didn't say this, but he's like, pretty much it translated to, are you stupid? I'm looking around at you, Paige. He's like, if you guys could do it, why can't I do it?
Right.
What I'm thankful for is that the people that I did open my partners is still Romano. He helped create Romano's Macaroni Grill. He helped create Chili's for Brinker. He is a very experienced restaurateur, but he really made his money from a medical device. So it's kind of his way of paying it forward. But because of the experience he had, I had amazing mentors. Mark Brzezinski from Payway, one of the co-founders of Payway, Bob Sandball from the original Bob's Chop and Steakhouse. There's a couple of the Omni hotels around the country. So he's still one of my mentors today. And, you know, it's like I got to learn what they learned over their 40 years of being in the restaurant in the last 3 years, and I don't take any of it for granted. Of course, they were restaurateurs, and then getting to really talk to some of the chefs. And I tell you what, the chef scene in Dallas was pretty hard for me to break into. Everyone kind of has their own clique. And I want to say that was another challenge in itself is, you know, you remember me on the taste. I was wearing like sneaker pumps, heels around the kitchen, you know?
Yep.
Like skinny jeans. I wanted to look cool while I was cooking, and that's who I was. And I kind of did that coming into having the restaurant, and I know that people hedge their bets and said, she's not going to make it a year. She's just not going to. And, you know, I'm still here and I'm still standing. And I know that I put my heart and soul into everything that I do. But before Trinity Groves opened, we have about 10 restaurants there. And they kind of did a March Madness bracket food competition. And so I was put against another chef, and then we had to cook 4 courses of food for 300 people, and like appetizers would come out simultaneously, then salad, then entree, then dessert. And at the end, the people that came had to vote with their forks. And so they all got a fork and they put their fork in the bucket that they thought was the best food. So I went through 4 rounds of cooking for 300 people each with, by the way, no staff besides my mom, my aunt, my sister, my cousin, best friend, whoever could hold a knife and cut vegetables was on my team. And we ended up winning the whole thing. And what it taught me was it was about the food and about the hospitality and, you know, sharing why I'm doing this, because I was still holding down a full-time job at the time too, because I didn't leave until 3 months before the restaurant opened. So I was kind of straddling both things. And, you know, I worked for an amazing company at the time that gave me the autonomy to have a couple of days off to be able to prep and you know, to be able to follow my dream. So, it's like, this was cool. And I didn't know what I was getting into the first year, many days working behind the line, like my nose starts itching when I get nervous. I remember my nose getting so itchy.
That's
tickets
awesome.
Tickets coming out of the ticket machine, and there's two rails of tickets, and I'm expoing for the first time in my life. I'm like, what is going on? It taught me that I needed a smaller menu. It was more about the quality versus the quantity.
Absolutely, 100%.
I learned par sheets. I could cook for 10 people, and maybe do 10 pounds of meat, but, you know, having to do 100 pounds of meat and multiplying that recipe, no, it's a whole new can of worms. It literally was like such an adrenaline rush. Those are the days.
Well, you know, but that's the thing, though. So you kind of go into this, you know, and by the way, Chef Jeff Mayen, I still talk to, another one of the guys I still talk to, great guy. I'm a little sick and tired of his riding bike pictures, though. I'm a little sick of those. Like, enough of the skinny Jeff riding bikes.
Right?
We get it. We get it. All right.
He
go have children that'll suck the
pizza.
That he doesn't eat. You know, he's like, oh, I can't eat it because I'm doing a 6,000-mile bike race tomorrow, but I want to show you a pizza. Ugh, fuck you. Go shit in your hat, Jeff.
I know. I've gained at least 20 pounds since I've opened the restaurant. I'm like, who am I?
Well, listen, so, but your restaurant, I mean, it's funny that you go in there and, you know, usually, listen, a new restaurant's going to do fantastic. The first 6-8 months, sometimes even a year, it's going to do amazing. Like, people are excited. It's the honeymoon time. It's the honeymoon period. You know, but here you are, 3 years later, you're still standing. Your restaurant is still kicking ass. You're still making amazing food. And you're talking about opening another one. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I know. I'm just an adrenaline junkie. I'm stupid.
Well, I don't want to say. No, you're definitely. Look, I know you were kidding, but I want to just correct you. You're definitely not stupid because your restaurant wouldn't still be there if you were stupid, which is amazing.
Well,
but I mean, obviously, you surround yourself with great people, and you make an amazing restaurant. But you're crushing it right now. You're doing a great job. As you open another one, and I'm not trying to like talk you out of it or anything, but just questioning, like, as you open another one, you're going to spread yourself thin there. I mean, do you worry about the quality? Do you worry about the you know, the standard?
Well, you know, you surround yourself with good people, and you have a good team that supports you as well. And so I have a kitchen manager that's been with me since the day that I pretty much opened. I have another kitchen manager that knows my stuff too. And so it's about teaching, you know, it's like, I'm not one of those chefs that won't teach you anything. Everything is in my head and I'm afraid that someone's going to steal my concept or my ideas or make my fried rice or something. I will give you the recipe. If you ask me for the recipe, I will give it to you because there's no original ideas these days, right? You just got to share it. And so, with that, I've instilled them with a lot of skills. And so for me to create another concept is to say, you know, I know that I love what I do, but at the end of the day, it's also about making money, right? You don't make money with one restaurant. You've got to be able to do multiples and be able to do it consistently and to create that craving for your guests that come in from the hospitality to the food. And so the next one I'm doing is actually a fast casual. It's like a Asian Chipotle in a way with yakitori.
Okay.
So I have 315 square feet. It's like a food stall. It's in a food hall. But the goal there, as I'm talking to my investors, is to be able to franchise. So they're like, we're not interested in this one space. And for me now, I'm thinking bigger and putting the plan together of, you know, once we roll this out and what are the goals we need to hit in the next 6 months? And once we open up with between, you know, labor and food costs and the profitability on the bottom line. So take that and say, let's build another one and build another one. I don't know that I'll do another full service restaurant that I have right now. I love Chino and I'll probably, you know, I could do another Chino if we took that and replicated it. But for now, I'm just thinking the way that our society works now, we just talked about this, right? People will go back and listen to podcasts. They will DVR things and watch them later. And they're on social media the entire time. So for me, it's about having aesthetically pleasing food because you eat with your eyes first, then you smell it. It smells good. And then you taste it. And hopefully it reminds you of something. It conjures up a memory of some sort, whether it's music or food. So for me, I'm going to just, you know, work my ass off and say, okay, let's kick this off and let's do this really good so that I can leave a legacy behind. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, not just about the food itself, but it's also about inspiring my daughter. She's going to be 13 this summer. I know you have three kids. And so, you know, how do you encourage them and show them? You do that by by mimicking that in the things that you do in your life too. So right. For me, I didn't want to tell her, hey, go follow your dreams, and then me be a coward and not do it either. So because of what I'm doing, she has a better resume than I do, that's for sure. But this kid is just fearless. And I'm thankful for her dad. Of course, he encourages her as well. But for the both of us, it's about our daughter. And then hopefully we can pay it forward with other, you know, folks in some way that are listening to our story here, whether on the radio or, you know, just reading a bio of sorts.
Man, listen to you, just inspiring everybody. That was, you dropped some knowledge. Like, shit got real serious there for a minute. You know? That was crazy. Like, we were having such a fun conversation.
I was scared of my own eye.
Now, like, I'm like, maybe I should just be quiet and just say thank you or something.
Oh,
I don't know. No, but you're right.
No.
But you're right. You're totally right. And I think that's what it's about. I think as a chef, your job is to inspire. Your job is to teach. Your job is to ensure that this business moves forward. And I really, really believe that. I had a very wise man once say to me, he said, Plum, you'll never know where you're going if you don't know where you came from. And that just, it stuck with me my entire life. And I think it's one of the most intelligent things that I've ever heard, ever said to me. And it stuck with me forever. And then the same guy.
I just think the hospitality business is like, you know, it's, you don't do it for the money. You think about the servers, they get paid $2.13 an hour and minimum wage. And then you have immigrants that are coming in. I mean, they're just wanting a better life for themselves. And it's selling, you know, one dish at a time, one $10 dish at a time, you know?
Totally. That's what it is. That's about, I mean, listen, you're right. And, you know, some of the best people I've ever had working for me were immigrant people and people who have come in and people who've been from Brazil or from Mexico. And some of the hardest working individuals I've ever had in my life work with me. And, you know, no one ever talks about that end of it, you know, but it's the truth.
Right.
It's, that's what it is. I wanted to ask you about
this. They work two jobs, they get paid minimum wage, you know, so I hope that I can
they get paid
a better life and their kids.
And they send half, and they send half of it home, you know, they don't even, I mean, that's the crazy part. And you know, and these guys come to work and bust their ass, and that's the God's honest truth. And I'll defend those guys till the day I die. I mean, politics or not, that's the guys I want riding with me, you know, honestly, those guys work their ass off.
Ride or die.
Damn right. And, you know, listen, before I ask you the question, I want to ask you about this picture on Instagram. As you got into this business, were you surprised at how the loyalty aspect of it, the, you know, because listen, you get a good kitchen crew and you have a good group of people working in your brigade, a good line. I mean, these are the most loyal individuals you'll ever find on the planet. And these guys will stick with you. These guys will defend you even after they don't work for you. It's amazing
how
you find that. I can't think of another profession that happens in. You have people right now that'll work for you that because they spend 10, 12 hours a day with you. I mean, you're their family. That was the best way to put it. And I can't think of, I mean, is there anybody that worked at your other job that you would feel the same way about? No.
My banking, I was always close to everybody. I actually see a lot of people in my banking industry more now than I did when I worked with them. I was on conference calls with them. But as far
they all want, they want a freaking free dish now. They're like, we're going to go to Chino because Uno's there. That's their joint. We're going to go there and get some food.
I'm boozing
them up. Got that Wells
Fargo.
Tell you what. She got that Wells Fargo discount.
Better. They got a Wells Fargo corporate card. Are you kidding? Everything tastes better after a bottle of wine. Like, here, drink this bottle of
wine.
That's true.
That's true.
Great.
That's very, very true.
No, my kitchen crew is diehard, and I know that this is something that has softened me. I promise you, when I was in banking, I don't know that my heart was this soft or I was this sentimental and squishy.
Right.
But being in the restaurant business is like, they show me pictures of their kids. I'm like, I'm going to make them some cake. Here's $20 for their birthday. You know, it's like, I've grown to love them and I love their kids. Yep. And there's just, you know, all the feelings that you could possibly get with the kitchen. My front of the house crew, though, my servers are more transient. You know, they're kids in college or younger, just the millennials. I have some challenges with that. I can honestly say that. But my kitchen crew, though, I mean, like, we are, that's it. Like, that's my unit. That's my crew.
Yeah. It's amazing, though. But like, when you come out of when you come out of like a corporate career that you were in into this career, this path, I mean, it's something that I don't think you know you're getting into it. Like when you get there and all of a sudden you realize, you know, it's 2 years into it and you're like, I'll ride and die with these people. Like they're my people.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
like, when did that happen? How did that happen?
It's mental. You know? Yeah. It's mental. It's physical. I remember those days and we would do like 400 covers for dinner in the restaurant. We're like busting our asses. And at the end, I'm like, I go and buy them a case of Corona. We pop it open and we sit on that line.
Oh, you
and
cheap drink. Prick. Come on. You couldn't get them something better though. Come
cleaning.
On. No, but you're totally
it
right.
Tastes a lot
but that's,
better.
Yeah, no, you're right. But those are the little things that those guys remember. And that's why that they'll ride and die with you, man. Like I have the guys that I work with and, you know, whether we're doing a TV show or we're doing a catering or we're doing a gig, like, you know, sometimes if it's a crazy night or crazy, I'll be like, dude, I love you, buddy, and give him a big hug and say thank you to him every single night. And that's, I think it's important to do that. Yeah. You know, that's because, you know, you're only as good as your weakest link. And, you know, you got to have great people. And it sounds like you've got a phenomenal group
I've
over there
at
Chino,
so
Chinatown.
I've been in it.
I was trying to plug you.
Tell you. I heard you. My kitchen crew is all Mexican. And trust me, I've been to a lot of Mexican nightclubs. I'm like, oh my God, how did I end up here drinking tequila?
Oh boy. You're like,
but
setting
it's such
me
a great
up for
combination,
jokes.
Though, because with my Asian, obviously I'm Asian. And then with my kitchen crew and my kitchen managers being Hispanic, we've actually collaborated on a bunch of different things in the kitchen, and it's made the restaurant better because now not only did I have my heritage in there, they're putting a little bit of what they do, and sometimes it's just a family meal that inspires a totally new dish on the menu. I'm like, oh, this salsa is amazing. How can we incorporate this into what we do? So I'm learning a lot from them too.
That's great, man. And you know, it always, yeah. I think a great leader knows and. I think the way you could tell a great leader is by someone who knows that, one, you don't know everything and you're open to learning anything from anybody. And it sounds like that's what you are. And that is exactly why right there, your restaurant is still standing 3 years after this.
We'll see. We have another year. You're only as good as the last dish you sent out. No, we'll be around for a while. I love the restaurant. I love the community that we're in too. So yeah, it's good.
Well, I tell you what, ChinoChinatown.com, check them out right there. If you're in the Dallas area, make sure you look her up because this restaurant looks amazing and sounds like some amazing people run by an even more amazing person running the show right there. Uno, that story is a great story. Like, I'm not going to forget that. That's going to be with me for a little bit for sure. That's a great story. Just hearing you talk about your people, hearing the passion that's involved in that. To me, that's what it's about. To me, that's the stuff that inspires young culinarians to keep going in this business, to take the next step forward, to try to find amazing people to work for like yourself. So congratulations on all your success with that. That's really fucking awesome.
Thank you, Chef.
That was all one breath, too. How about that? Like, I didn't take – that was one breath. I didn't
– Tell me more.
listen, I wanted to ask you really quick because tonight at my client that I was at tonight, they wanted spa cuisine, long story short, and I needed a bit of heat in one of the things I was making, and they didn't have any chilies. So I looked in her fridge, and she had some Melinda's mango hot sauce. I know that you're – yeah. So I used it and it was delicious. I know that you do some work with these guys. What's the story behind that?
I do. I'm the brand ambassador for Melinda's Hot Sauce. And so I've been doing recipes for them and how to incorporate it. And I met them when actually one of the brothers had come to eat at Chino. And so he was a fan. So he brought his family in and they're the distributor, they're founders and distributors for Melinda's Hot Sauce. And so we kind of forged a relationship through the restaurant itself, and then eventually it was like, hey, do you want to do some stuff with us? And it was a natural fit. I will tell you that I wasn't ready to really promote any brands because I just thought I was in over my head with the restaurant. But after I kind of got comfortable with my own skin, it was natural, and it is my favorite hot sauce. And actually, I put the Melinda's Scorpion hot sauce in my soup tonight because I love everything spicy.
Nice.
And what I love about Melinda's is it's all natural. You can read every single ingredient on the back of the bottle because there's no preservatives in it. And it's not just heat, but it's flavor. Like you can taste the ghost pepper. Not like you were like, oh, people, I love the taste of peppers or habaneros.
Delicious.
Or what have you. So, I love them.
Well, listen, we should talk offline here because I am a judge for the New York Hot Sauce Expo, one of the biggest hot sauce expos on the planet. And we should get these guys
Yeah.
involved in that because their stuff was awesome. That sauce was bomb. I made this
Yeah, they
amazing
won a couple awards this year.
at the New York Hot Sauce Expo.
Not the New York one, but the one in New Mexico. But it's the
Oh,
national
yeah.
one, and I have to look it up. So they won five awards
Well,
for that, and yeah, they've been doing well.
it's
And
good shit.
I would love to send you a case of all the flavors that they have.
Dude, I am a hot sauce machine. Like, I have problems. Like, it's not a good thing. Like, I can eat hot sauce on
Yeah.
everything. And the problem is, like, I like it too much. And then, like, it hurts the next day. And that's
Oh,
not
I know
something you
what
really
you
want to say
mean.
to. I mean, I don't want to. You're a mom, so I say that. But, like, I don't want to say it to, like, you're a pretty girl, so I feel bad saying that. But that's kind of the bad part with it. But it's the truth. Sorry, I was making a bad joke.
You can
But
tell me
one
anything.
of
I know what that means. No, text me
the.
your address. I'll text it. Text me later your addresses, and I'll get the flavors sent out to you so you can sample them.
Well, the mango one was amazing, and I used it with a. I made this. My client wanted some. She's like, "Can you use some kind of spa cuisine tonight?" She's like, "I just after Super Bowl, I feel like I've eaten so much nonsense." I'm like, "Yeah, sure." So I did this like awesome quick ceviche of the squid, and we did a quick sear with some oranges and whatever. But I finished it with a little bit of this mango hot sauce from Melinda's, and
So
I was like,
good.
"God, this stuff's really, really good. This is awesome." And so, she dug it, and they were blown away by it. That's the whole
Good.
story. I wish that story had more of a climax, but like it was kind of the whole story, and that's just me talking from a
No,
chef to another.
I got to
So,
plug Melinda, so thank you for
of
that.
course you did. Come on, do you think that happened by accident? Come on, huh?
No.
Professional broadcaster here, miss.
I love it. You're really good at what you do.
I could talk to you for 3 hours. Do you know that? I think honestly, that night, the last night that I was on the Taste, you and I sat at that pool. And we talked about, we've just solved every problem in life in general. I think you and I talked for about 3 hours. I don't know if you remember this. And people started
I
fading out and
do.
leaving. And it was just you and I
I
just sitting there
know.
talking. And it wasn't like
Remember when
anything
Sean brought all
like,
that food over? Did he go to In-N-Out and get us all that food too at the pool?
yes. That dude's awesome. I do remember that. That was crazy. Wait, was it In-N-Out or was it Taco Bell? I feel like it was Taco Bell.
Yeah, I can't remember, but yeah, it was a lot of food. And
I mean, it
Sean is
was
like,
definitely
he's a
health
chef in
food.
Beverly Hills. And he was like, "Here, guys, eat up." We're like, "What is this?" And we had like
Damn,
a
I don't remember what
$50
it was.
stipend a day, and we spent that on like two drinks, and we were done.
Oh shit. I rented a car, so I was like, fuck it. I mean, you're in LA, you gotta have a car. I don't know if you were there or not.
Right?
I've relived this story so many times on the show. So many people. We were staying at the Radisson at LAX, which isn't there anymore. But first of all, the hotel, my particular room, the air conditioner would not go below 75, which I to this day will not understand how that's the case. It was hot as balls. But then I ended up, there was like this little like, do you remember the restaurant? It was like a little French restaurant or something in the hotel. At least it wanted to be a French restaurant. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I don't even know what it was. It was
Yeah, I don't know.
in Radisson LAX. So it's just horror stories there. And there was a yoga convention. Remember that?
Oh my God, you're right. And this was before yoga pants, which would have made the whole thing worth it, but they weren't around then.
Yes.
No? All right. Well,
It was
I was kind of
just so
hoping for a
nice.
laugh there. But I came in, everybody met after shooting the day we went to it was the first day we all went shopping, and then we all kind of decided we were gonna go to the restaurant afterwards. I don't know if you came or not. I don't remember. You and I definitely hung up later that night, but that part, I came in there with a case of a 30 can pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon, and I started throwing them to
Yes.
people in the restaurant. And the maitre d' was like,
Yes.
"Sir, you can't bring it." And I just threw on my really thick Southern accent and talked really loud. And I ended up making him put him in the walk-in for us. It was awesome. Jeff Mahan tells the story phenomenally. He's like, "You came walking in, looking like freaking John Travolta from Pulp Fiction, and started throwing beers at people." And I don't know. It
With
was
your
awesome.
mohawk.
Hell yeah! Which wasn't colored then. It's purple now. But and I do that to make
Yeah.
sure the young people like me. Anyway, Udo, we can re I can relive stories with you all night long and tell this and just talk about it. And honestly, you're one of my favorite people I got to meet on that show. I'm so happy to spend this time with you tonight and talk. But more importantly, there's so many things out there in the news, and you brought up a minute ago about maybe having In-N-Out Burger brought to us as we were hanging out by the pool that night. Fast food is one of those things that's changing on a regular basis, and you were talking about doing a fast casual type place itself. But there's been a story that's came out recently, I think it was 2 days ago, about how some of the rappers have all these crazy carcinogens in them. So I'd like for you to hear anything more about fast food that's bad. But check this out. I'll play the story for you and see what you think about it. Hang tight. Check this out.
Well, isn't that old fast food news? A new study has just revealed that it is more than just bleached, mechanically separated chicken that's trying to kill you. The paper wrappers normally used to bundle up your burger have been found to contain the chemical fluorine, which is used to keep grease stains off of the paper. Fluorine is part of a chemical family known as per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. PFAs are highly persistent synthetic chemicals, some of which have been associated with cancer, developmental toxicity, immunotoxicity, and other health effects. According to the reports, PFAs in grease-resistant food packaging can leach into the food and increase dietary exposure. Researchers tested 400 containers for food and drinks from restaurant chains like McDonald's, Burger King, Starbucks, and found that fluorine was present in about 40% of the samples taken. A separate study from Harvard University researchers published last year found that the drinking water supplies of about 6 million people contain amounts of PFAs exceeding the Environmental Protection Agency's advisory levels. So, I guess the takeaway here is bring a towel to the next fast food joint you hit and ask them to wrap it up for you that way. That's all for now.
All right, honestly, before we even talk about that, I want whoever makes these newscasts, these guys, to stop trying to be witty. Just say the fucking news story. We don't need you to try to make your jokes. You're not good at it. Like, that was ridiculous. That was not even funny. Like, what are you doing? Stop it. Stop it. Just tell us that we're all going to die. He's like, oh, then meanwhile,
we're all going to die. Oh, my God. Death every day.
Yeah, look, do we really need to hear... Like, we all know fast food is bad for us. We really need to hear one more thing about it that makes it even worse, honestly.
No.
No.
I still take my McDonald's nuggets every now and then. I think I'm going a little healthier route these days. I'm having Chick-fil-A, you know. I feel like that's real chicken. That's my upgrade in the fast food realm.
Maybe it is. I don't know. Chick-fil-A is delicious, that's for sure. It's tough because, you know, you look at... You know, a lot of chefs, especially here in the New York City area, we get off work late at night after working 12 hours a day. You got to find something to eat. So generally, it comes down to fast food or sushi, and that's what it is. And I mean, I love sushi; it's fantastic. But I can imagine that there's probably more chefs in the middle of the country that do the same thing. They get off work after working a 14-hour day, but they're in Missouri. I don't know about you, Uno, but as far as I know, we're not going out for sushi in Missouri, are we?
I hope not. No, I don't. No. I don't think there's fish in Missouri. Does anybody
fish out there? they got like freshwater sushi.
I've never understood the irony in that. Before I was a chef, I was like, I don't understand how chefs go and eat fast food when they worked at a restaurant. Like, why didn't they just eat there? That doesn't make sense. And then it happened to me, and I was like, totally makes sense because you're so busy, all you don't have time to eat. And then you want to leave.
Yeah.
You realize, oh shit, I haven't eaten. So I'm going to stop at this fast food place and get a fry and a burger and ketchup and a big Coke. I might do Diet Coke and I'm feeling kind of fat, you know, whatever. but God, it's like, why?
And then we're going to put a news story out like this. This story just came out yesterday and telling us more things that make us feel great about eating fast food. I just wonder if at some point, news people, media, people in general are just going to say, you know what? Yes, just like cigarettes. We know this is bad for us, but we still like it. Stop talking about it, you know?
Well, just like alcohol. It's like, I know it's bad for me, and I know that I drink too much of it.
Wait, what?
I'm going to feel crappy tomorrow. But it's I know, such a thing. I don't know if it's ever really happened, but it's like, okay, we're all doing something, you know, to kind of deteriorate our body in some way. And honestly, I'll tell you, in January and February, I kind of decided that I was not going to drink as much. I can't say I'm not going to drink at all, because in the restaurant, it's like, hey, we're trying out new drinks, taste this, do that. You know, I want to be able to taste it. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna cut back on drinking. You know, I got the flu. And so I told my mom, my mom called me yesterday. She's like, hey, I heard you were sick. Maybe it's from all that drinking you've been doing. I said, actually, Mom, I haven't been drinking for a month now. I think I got sick because the alcohol was killing all the germs.
But
when I quit drinking, I got sick. So the moral of the story is, always drink.
This is why you're my favorite person. I love this logic. I'm in.
I mean, if all else fails, you know, and like, if all else fails, get fast food. Ask for an extra wrapper.
Let me get an extra wrapper to chew on with that. Because you know what it is? Maybe you're right. Maybe it's about building an immunity. So if we can get this crazy carcinogen in our body, we can build an immunity to other things. I like where you're thinking. Listen, I drive home from me and my head server. We'll do an event out in the Hamptons in New York. And we'll be out there on the beach, beautiful dinner, whatever. We'll work a 14-hour, 12-hour, 10, whatever day. But on the way home, Uno, I'm not going to lie, we stop and get our asses a 12-pack of fucking tacos, and we just go to town on the way home. We got a whole system. She sets my hot sauce up. She passes it over. I don't give a fuck. I'm eating tacos on the way home.
That's exactly it. Yep.
I don't know. There's you did make me feel better about that. Well, check it out. It's been amazing talking to you. I could talk to you.
I'm so sorry, because work is texting me. I'm like, okay, I need to do this and that. I'm just like, great. So
work is texting you?
Yes, they. Oh well, they called me first, and so I'm texting. So I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted.
Well, listen, we'll go ahead and wrap with you then, because I know that you got to do work, and that's the way it goes. And I honestly could sit here and talk to you all night. You know, I can run my mouth.
No, we're good now. It was just we're getting some stuff replaced in the rest. It never fails. I promise you. It's like maintenance in a house. You know, it's like things in the kitchen are starting to fall apart. I'm like, okay, so the only time they can fix it is before work or after work. And so so they're trying to coordinate that piece there, and my manager's trying to go home. See, this is what I don't like about being a chef owner, this stuff.
Yeah, well, at least we live in a world now where they can just text you. When I first started in this business, they wouldn't text you, they would call you. Or you just had to be there. At least it's easier.
I just wish that, you know, life... I thought this restaurant life was going to be more glamorous than it actually is. I had to wash dishes, clean toilets.
Yeah, what the fuck,
Take gum off the bottom of a table, pick up trash from the floor. I was just like, my goodness, what did
now,
I sign up
Now, did you wear
for?
Your high heels? Did you wear your high heels when you were cleaning toilets or your skinny jeans?
Oh, my gosh. The first month, I was wearing high heels and kind of scooting around, like, I was like, I'm going to be the hostess. And then I was like, oh, my God, the kitchen's behind. I'm the only one that knows the food. So then I bought sneaker wedges, right, those high-heeled sneakers. I was
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I'm still going to look hot while I'm in the kitchen. Oh, when you stand in heels of any sort for 14 hours,
I mean,
your feet are, like, pulsating when I get home. I'm like, oh, I didn't know such a pain. I think my feet have grown another whole size because
Jesus.
I stand up so much. They didn't even know what I was going through.
Oh my God.
It's like when people say they have childbirthing hips, I have chef feet. And they're ugly.
And they're ugly. Listen, I don't know if I agree with that totally. Listen, you're working in the kitchen, you're doing what you're supposed to do. I think that's definitely a very, very beautiful thing. I don't know how much you remember about me and what I look like, but one thing that I'm lucky with is I'm 6'3", I'm 250 pounds, and unfortunately, I spend my life being bent
manly,
over.
Sexy manliness.
That's right, of melted snowman body, but I spend my time bent over, right, in a weird way. This is serious. Like, I'm bent over, and, you know, they don't make tables for guys who are my height, so I'm always bent over more than I probably should be. So this new thing that's happened in the past few months, I have tremendous back pain, which is just crazy. I don't know where it came from. Like, it just started happening. Apparently, like, I guess, like, I'm getting old now, maybe. I don't know. But, like, it comes from doing that. So
no, you're not
maybe
old.
I should wear high. Well, maybe I should wear your high heels. What do you think? Maybe that would work for me. I look great in high
heels.
Well,
you know, I'm going to tell you, chef shoes are the ugliest things ever.
Yep.
I mean, who designed this stuff?
I don't know. You're right. You should come up with your whole thing.
I think that's what we should do. We should invent chef shoes for females.
Yes.
I looked online. I went to go try them on. I'm like, oh, they feel so comfortable. It's like walking on clouds. And then I looked down. I'm like, oh my God, my feet are already ugly. This is not helping. And besides,
I'm wearing
thunderblocks with kids.
Right.
I'm not married. Right. So I still need to, people still need to find me attractive. If they're looking at me from head to toe and they find and look down, and they're like, oh my God, her shoes. I'm destined to be single the rest of my life. So that's why I decided I was going to wear heels.
Well, hey, keep going to the Mexican nightclubs. You'll do well for yourself in the end eventually. And listen, I'm pretty sure no one's finding you. No one at all is finding you unattractive. I promise you that. Trust me. And just, you know, it just depends on what level of creep you want to get to. That's all. Anyway,
that's true.
Really quick, I want to play a quick game with you and get you out of here. And honestly, I have tremendously loved this conversation. It's been one of my favorites. I don't know why. I just love talking to you. I always have, even though we've only done it a handful of times. I just love talking to you. I think you're awesome. I'm so, so proud of you for your restaurant. I'm so proud that you're still kicking it. I'm so proud of you for learning the business and accepting it and just kind of becoming part of it. And I think that is the hardest thing, like you said, things from looking at your feet and having tired feet to having to clean toilets, like coming from a well-paying corporate career to that and still doing it. That's what it's all about. Yeah. And that's why I think you're an amazing restaurant owner. And that's why your team thinks you're an amazing restaurant owner. And don't ever not give yourself credit for that.
Oh my God. I appreciate everything you've done for 20 years. I mean, there's other chefs that have paved the way for what we're currently doing now. And I know that we're paving it, we're painting this picture that's not very glamorous, but the rewarding part is that we get to influence what people eat, what people put into their bodies. And so that to me in itself makes me happy. Like I 100%. Get to feed people.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Are you guys open 7 days a week or no?
We are 7 days a week, lunch and dinner. And then I kind of do special events. And so once a month I do a Sunday family dinner. And this month we're doing our official 3-year birthday. And I've got dancing Chinese lions and drummers coming in. So we try to do a different event and a different theme around it. And I do between 10 and 15 courses of food and alcohol included with it. And set a big long table of 60. And it's just strangers sitting down across from each other and meeting new people and breaking bread.
Love it.
And drinking a lot.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Same thing. That's the exact same thing I do with my pop-up series that I do. We're doing one at this haunted mansion coming up in March, which we haven't announced yet, but it's happening. George Washington stayed there. Benedict Arnold tried to burn the place down. How about that? It's very exciting. Wow. All I want to do is have you come to a dinner with me. That would be so much fun. Do you have any idea how much fun we'd have?
I would love
that. It would be so fun.
Don't tell me it was a good time.
Are you kidding me? I'm going to tempt you all day long. We're going to talk after this. I'm telling you. Anyway, yes. So next time you're in New York City, if you don't hit me up, I'm going to be personally offended. And in the meantime, let's play a quick game of what did we learn? Do you have five? I've stolen a lot of your time tonight. I apologize. I'm looking at my time left. I know I have 14 minutes left. Can I steal 2 minutes?
This is fun. Yeah, I've got it.
All right, here. All right, here we go. We're going to play a quick round of what did we learn tonight. What did we learn is brought to you by Ergo Chef Knives. That's right, our friends over at Ergo Chef Knives, the brand new shape of cutlery. Uno and I are going to try to reshape your brain and tell you what we learned from this program tonight. Uno, I'll go first. Is that cool?
Okay, you go first.
All right. I learned tonight that I learned tonight that Uno cleans toilets while wearing high heels, and that might be like a website waiting to happen. I'm pretty sure that's probably a website waiting to happen. Nice job, Chef.
Right? I've learned that Chef Plum doesn't really admire Tom Brady for his dietary habits.
Oh, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. He's garbage. Avocado, cacao, ice cream. Ugh. Seriously, you've got too much money on your hands. That's what I look at.
No strawberries, no coffee, please.
Seriously, he's got it. This guy, I'm telling you what would be, he'd be a hoot at a party, wouldn't he? Jesus. Enough of that guy already. Enough of that guy already. I learned tonight that you can go from a corporate, wonderful, fantastic paying job and take the leap of faith into the restaurant business and be successful, because I don't think a lot of people can do that, but it is possible because my friend Uno did it.
Well, I've learned that my friend Chef Plum has been on more nationally syndicated shows than I have. 10, to be specific, including commercials on Food Network. Yeah,
it's probably more than that, and I prefer if you call me global icon and national treasure, Chef Plum, as opposed to friend. I'm just saying, like, that's my title. I just wanted to make sure you got
global icon, national treasure.
Yes, yes, way better, way better. Really noted. Way better that way. Thank you, thank you. I've also learned that Chef Uno enjoys going to Mexican dance clubs and waking up with bottles of tequila she doesn't know what to do with, and but still being able to make the work the next day. And that, my friend, is real. That, my friend, is beast mode right there.
Look, I'm talented like that. I mean, if I'm, I work better hungover, I'm almost sure of it.
You work better hungover. I wish I could try to get my wife to think that, so she wouldn't always say to me, "Wait, you drank all the wine?" I don't know. I'm like, "Yeah, we're gonna leave half it sitting here. Stop it."
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to waste it. Look, the kids in Ethiopia could be drinking that.
Certainly, and if we're gonna give the kids from Ethiopia something, we should give them wine. That's how I look at it. I call it education.
Exactly. Okay.
Come on, one more, one more. You can do it.
I was like, that's like digging, but I was like, this is the one that stood out to me, not the most, but the last thing we talked about was the carcinogens in fast food wrappers. 40% is found in the samples they found from McDonald's and even Starbucks. Who knows? Who knew?
Oh my God, it's Starbucks, right? What the fuck is that? I kind of wanted more information on that. I mean, you know, like. Is it the cups? Is it the coffee cups? What is it?
I've been reusing these Starbucks cups. No wonder why I'm like not feeling good.
I have the very first Starbucks. I have a Christmas cup from 1996. I don't know why. Like, maybe I shouldn't be using it. And I always wonder where this third arm came from. Apparently, it was Starbucks' fault. I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, you can check out. Yeah. Check out my friend Chef Uno. She's amazing. You can find her at Chef Uno on Instagram and all social media. And of course, check out her restaurant, ChinoChinatown.com. She is a badass chef. She's kicking a llama's ass and about to open another restaurant. Any young culinarians out there, I'm telling you what, this is a person you want to watch. This is a person you want to follow. This is a person you want to pay attention to. And I'm telling you, this is somebody you can learn something from because she is kicking ass. Uno, you are awesome. I thank you so much for your time tonight. This conversation has been one of my favorites.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I'll talk to you soon.
Very much so. I appreciate it, and I will chat with you on down the road, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, what a great conversation. I love that one. She's one of my favorite people on the planet. Make sure, again, you follow her at ChinoChinatown.com. And, of course, follow her on social media at Chef Uno on Instagram and more. Next week, we might be having a beer episode. I think we're going to have a beer episode next week because I'm really digging the beer that I'm drinking right now from our friends over at Thimble Island Brewing Company. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Please make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. And in the meantime, and in between time, please remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. I'll see you next week after show on Station Head. Talk to you in a bit. Peace.